It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. I know what you're thinking. We're doing another podcast. That's right. We are all over this. Just you watch it. My name is Michael Bailey. Once again, I'm with Peter Raven, Paddy Davitt, to talk about the latest Norwich City action, that being a 1-0 win at home at Carrow Road against Bristol City in midweek. And of course, we've had a press conference and we're already starting to look ahead to the derby on Sunday too. So loads to talk about, and we're going to do it in a lovely condensed format, boys. So away we go. Tuesday night, first of all. Lovely. First win. Did Norwich play better? Is everything a bit more rosy now? It wasn't not rosy, was it, anyway, after the weekend? But better. It's better. It feels better, doesn't it, Pete? We're not booing anymore.
No. First home win, you mean, Michael.
What did I say?
First win.
Yeah, of course I meant first home win. How dare you? Of course.
I seem to recall Paddy was very confident the previous podcast that we'd win. And
I knew there was a reason I liked you, Pete.
And it was...
It's very rare on
the It was... As the game was wearing on, you just say, is it going to be enough one of those sucker punch? Bristol City have done nothing all game. I'm not sure Michael McGovern had a great deal to do. As a side note, didn't realise he was that short. But there was just... They weren't anything special, were they? And we could have been 3 or 4 had it not been for the woodwork. So comfortable, but not quite as comfortable as it could have been.
I mean, you did stick to that every time I spoke to you, that Bristol City, Norwich would pretty much deal with them quite comfortably. And it's interesting, I thought that a couple of people have since, and Cameron Jerome said it today as well, you know, Bristol City will be right up there at the end of the season. I don't see it.
I think you meant Sheffield Wednesday he was talking about. Having transcribed the quotes for the last 2 hours...
That would make more sense.
Yeah, well, yeah, but then someone did tweet me, although now I'm doubting that they were talking about Bristol City as well. But I'm sure Bristol City will finish.
Oh, they won't be up there, mate, let's be honest. Well, if you define up there as in the top six challenging for promotion, no, they've not gotten off. Whereas Wednesday, I think, have gotten off and can spend still to increase it. Neil. Alex, that is, talks a lot about levels, you know, the level between a Premier League, level between that and the Championship. But within the Championship, I think there's levels as well, and the difference between them and Sheffield Wednesday. Albeit, yeah, Norwich weren't at their fluid best and they didn't put goals on the roster, as it were, other than the excellent goal Johnny Howson scored. But setting aside the fact that it was only 1-0, which meant it got a little bit tense towards the death, I thought they were firmly in control most of that game, and I think that'll be happening more often than not in the Championship, bar the teams that they're going to be fighting out with, and possibly this Sunday as well.
It was a cracking goal, wasn't it, as Pad touched on then, Pete? You know, Norwich's 5 goals this season have all been excellent.
Yeah, well-worked move. Pinto again involved, wasn't it? Down the right and flick on from Wes. I think he wanted a return ball, but Johnny just pretty much passed it into the net, didn't he?
Are you a bit annoyed that Wes didn't get the ball back?
That's fine. Okay. Another assist, I'll take that. Then we got to watch it all again on the spinny screen.
Well, I was going
to
say, did you cheer more for the goal or for the replay you got with the rotating revolving screen?
For the goal. I've seen a TV screen before, Michael.
But not like that.
Oh, yeah, I have. I can tilt mine in my lounge. Nothing to it.
You're a hard man to flip. Oh, okay.
No, it was.
Turn it round, though, in a portrait and landscape vibe with your TV at home.
If I took the bracket off, it would fall on the floor. But that answered the question whether we could find out if it turned left or right. Didn't make much difference to me because the post was still in the middle of the screen. But you could see what was going on. It's interesting that they had it on live during the game as well. I don't think they're allowed to do that.
No, I think they are. It happens a lot a lot of grounds. The issue is you can't...
The players.
Well, yeah, they do. When the game stops, sometimes you'll see them look at what's going on, but they're not allowed to show contentious replays. So the only replays you'll see are of goals Norwich City score, basically.
But no, lovely goal and should have been more.
Yeah, probably should have been more. But I do think at this stage of the season, you take the wins, don't you? Notch them up and... and move on. 7 points out of nine. I know Newcastle have now finally won a game. I mean, Villa have won one and drawn one, haven't they? So they seem to be the logical comparisons at the moment. And you've got teams like Brighton who are flying already, clearly off the back of a great season last year. So three games in, you can sort of see teams are slowly maybe getting to grips with it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. Although this fetish for league tables after one game, I don't know where that come from. When I was a boy, there was none of that. But
three games on teletext, that would be the first
one. No, but I mean, Alex Neil, I think at some point in the last 7 days, has said you basically 10 to 15 games before you get a true sense, really, of how it's taking shape. But I'd agree with you. Yeah, I think already you can sort of tell who's going to be up and around it. And that's why, as much as they're not playing well, you wouldn't say not sweeping teams aside. Blackburn, obviously, an exception because they're a very poor team on the opening day. But the next two games, they haven't really, you wouldn't say they've hit their straps, as it were. But so important not to lose ground at this stage. I mean, you might look at it and think, well, it's 46 games. It's an absolute ridiculous long way to go yet. But I still think you can throw it away and lose momentum, even at this early stage. So for me, that's the most important thing, that they're bang at it and they're at the top end of the table, and it's a lot easier to build a season from that point rather than, albeit they did start quite well 2 years ago, but they then had a major slump and then they were playing catch up. You don't really want to be playing catch up.
Yeah, which does put into context the point they've got to get in Sheffield Wednesday, because as Johnny Howson said on Tuesday night, you don't want to lose ground to the teams that are going to be out and around you. If you happen to be playing them second game in, that still applies, obviously. Heaven forbid we bring up the Premier League at the moment, but I was listening to the Game podcast, I think it was, with Gab Marcotti, talking about how Manchester United couldn't get their transfer business sorted last year, lost a couple of needless games early in the season, and that basically took them out of the top four equation by the end of the season, because they had too much ground, or you know, they'd lost those points. You can't really make them up later on, so it does still count at the start of the season. If you want to hear more from what Johnny Howson said after the game on Tuesday night, it's all there, because the interviews are being sent through a separate podcast at the moment. So check your subscription feed, or pop over to Audio Boom or pinken.com/podcast.
Pinken homepage, they're all on there in the top right, so get your fill.
Yep, they're all there. But that's where you can hear Johnny Howson. You'll have to make do without Alec Neil this week. So, was there anything else we should talk about from the Bristol City game? It already feels like a lifetime ago, and I'm struggling
Sergi
to remember.
Sergi Canos.
Yes. Sergi Canos, first sighting of him on a competitive pitch. He got half an hour, probably, wasn't it, about then. Came on, ran around, did the things you maybe expect a young Spanish player from Liverpool as a £2-3 million signing to do, and had a bit about him, a bit of edge. I liked him a lot, and having seen the training today, I think he's just generally like that all the time.
Yeah, no, he does look a player, but I think Alex Neil is very keen to stress A, he's 19, and B, maybe the fitness element of what he demands of his Y players isn't quite there yet. But you know, he's certainly, for me, unlike Josh, sadly, I think he's moved ahead of Josh now in the pecking order. It's a brutal world, and he's had two starts and he hasn't really grabbed his chance. That lad showed in that 30 minutes he can affect games. Obviously, it's easier maybe to come on when you're 1-0 up anyway and you were dominant, which wasn't the case, obviously, from the outset in Josh's defence. But I certainly think it's Canos, and probably just ahead of him now is Jacob Murphy, who we learned today is back in training and probably will be available for Sunday. So for me, it's Jacob versus Sergi for the right hand berth, I think.
It's a tough one with Josh, isn't it? Because I don't think you can put it down to any kind of conversation or conclusions about his ability at the moment. Maybe that'll happen in time, but it's just his confidence just doesn't seem to be there. Conversely with obviously Jacob, who in a different situation was flying at Blackburn.
Yeah, it's strange, because at the end of last season, Josh has played all the way through for MK Dons. Okay, as a team, they've gone down. It hasn't been a great success, but I think he was player's player of the year there. So he clearly had an excellent season, a level higher than his brother, who was playing for Coventry. So you thought, of the two coming back, who's going to be further down that development road? And it would have been Josh. But, you know, clearly, as you say, I think he does look like a man bereft of confidence. And he was telling just his inability to hold the ball and run at players, and just the things that probably he wouldn't have instinctively not given a second thought to last season or when he first broke through at Norwich. and he was seen as the better prospect of the two, I think, widely by most pundits or supporters, but that certainly isn't the case at the minute. And yeah, his ability is not in doubt, but sadly I think the competitive element to that creative midfield in Norwich's squad now, he's not going to get too many more chances, and if he doesn't grasp it, then I think it might be another loan for the boy.
Yeah, I guess it's a test of Alec Neil's management as much getting the best out of players as being able to somehow help them out with their confidence going forward. I want to talk about the back line, because Norwich kept two clean sheets out of their two home games, but I guess that also leads nicely into Sunday's derby, because it's going to be a barrage, isn't it? Long throws, free kicks, corners. Apparently they have slightly eased their direct style, according to our colleague at the EADT, Stuart Watson. That's what he told me yesterday, but probably not much.
They've actually introduced football to the team, have they?
There is a ball on the pitch, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. No, it's all you can expect from Ipswich, isn't it? I think Tim Close and Ryan Bennett are going to be heading the ball quite a lot on Sunday, and Brady's going to have to get his act together at the back, because he's not a left back, no matter how many times he's played there.
He will be playing there on Sunday, of course.
Yes, but it's... yeah, they can expect a lot of long balls in, got their high balls in. I don't know what Ipswich have got in terms of width and pace, but it's Mick McCarthy, isn't it? It's direct.
You sound excited, Pete.
It's too early.
Today?
No, the fixture. I can't remember, like previous ones, I've always, the whole sort of crowd seemed a bit more up for it in the past. And I think it also goes back to when Paddy was saying you don't see a league table till after three games. It's too early in the season. I mean, everyone's excited about it, but it's the timing isn't great. But we shall see.
Sunday lunchtime as well.
Looking forward to it.
You are still looking forward. I'm glad you did clarify.
But compared to other derbies, it's a bit sort of early on.
I mean, they did play.
Not going to decide anything either way. So.
Oh, I've just had. What did you not listen to what I said 10 minutes ago? But you know, they did play sort of this early on, wasn't it, 2 years ago as well. Did you feel the same then, do you reckon?
Grubbing. Yeah,
you can't even remember. I mean, that says it all. Don't answer the question. It says it all. Are you looking forward to this, Pat? You're not an Norwich fan, but you know, you've been to a few of these derbies, so how do you... I don't know who are Coventry's main, like who would be if you're really getting excited.
Yeah, mate, we don't need to talk about that topic, so we'll move on swiftly. It's probably Walsall at the minute, such is the desperate descent they've made down the pyramid. But yeah, I don't think, slightly on the tangent to what Pete was saying, but I don't think it'll be anywhere near the intensity of the two playoff games, which are the last two instalments of this odyssey. So you know, if you draw a parallel there, then I don't think we'll be, I mean, as you say, not a Norwich fan, but I mean, those games I distinctly remember in the pit of my stomach, even, you know, just that kind of the Portman Road game particularly, just before the teams came out, it was just like, you know, this is mega kind of thing, in the context of not just bragging rights but also what it meant in terms of Wembley and playoffs and promotion, when Premier League and what have you. But so I don't expect to be feeling those sensations about 11:30 Sunday morning, but by the same token, I think it is quite nice that Norwich are the dominant force over the last sort of 6 or 7 years, when they've obviously met in the same division, and I don't think that's something you want to give up too easily. You know, it's almost like you've got your foot on them at the minute and keep it there, basically. Don't give them any encouragement at all. Again, going back to what we said at the start, I don't think you can construct a case that they're going to be anywhere near the playoffs, but by the same token, why let them have a nice afternoon? Basically torture them is what I'm saying.
2009, I think, was the last time Ipswich beat Norwich.
And we had a front line of Alan Lee, Alan Gow and David Mooney.
Oh, I can't believe they didn't score.
We did.
Oh, we did score. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, I can't believe we didn't win. Potent.
But
are you getting twitchy, Pete?
Not twitchy. It's weird because a lot of fans are resigned thinking they're going to win because they're due one.
Yeah.
Don't see it that way. It's like we've got enough about them. We've just come down. We've got Mick McCarthy will probably mention that we spend a lot more than they do. I think we'll just have too much for them. It's all three more points.
It's all the parachute payments' fault. I mean, that's an interesting point you mentioned there, though, about how Mick McCarthy will motivate them. I mean, the fact they haven't beaten them in a long time. I think Alec Neil and Cameron Jerome basically are convinced that will come up in terms of riling the Ipswich troops.
Yeah, I think if I'm in their shoes, then I do think I turn that to a positive and think, well, there isn't an Ipswich side who've actually won this fixture since 2009. If those boys do the business on Sunday, then that's it. You know,
they will be legends.
Yeah,
star on the shirt.
You got it, mate. Yeah, no, that'll be an open top bus job, won't it? But it will. You know, I mean, in terms of instantly, I know there's a lot of. You look at it from a distance from here and there seems to be a lot of disgruntlement with their supporter base and inability to sell out games and what have you, so there is a disconnect, it feels like, there at the minute. And you turn over Norwich and happy days, you know, that buys them a lot of credit, those players. So yeah, they certainly won't lack for motivation. And Alex Neil made the point today and he was right, you know, Norwich will have to go there and be just as hungry, just as committed, just as intense as those players. And then if they do that, then there's no debate that Norwich have pound for pound better players, so they win the game. But if they're not up for it, and you know, pick a player out, if Tim Closer is caught out by kind of what it means, I'd be very surprised if he is, given his career to date. But if he's not ready, Pinto's not ready, these boys, you know, as we've discussed, it's only going to take a set piece or whatever, and then you're chasing the game and then, you know, the wheels can come off. So, and obviously the crowd will then get into it in a big way. So, you know, match what they've got and then Norwich's quality will take care of itself.
Spot on. We'll look forward to it. We'll have all the usual stuff, of course, at pinken.com over the course of the weekend. Transfer window news, what should we go on here? We've got suggestion. Well, Norwich would clearly love to have Di Mercy and Bacani back. That's become quite clear, but it's just a question whether the player would want to play in the Championship, which I suppose the longer he doesn't have a Premier League shot, the more desirable that might become. We've got the French lad, Jérôme Onguene, who is... I get the impression they probably have agreed some sort of deal, but there's no way he's coming in until Alec Neil has a striker. Or, as I think his words were, he wouldn't spend any money on any other player, would he, until he gets a striker in the building. So that's clearly what he wants to do. And time is ticking, isn't it, Pad? So, playing the waiting game, are we happy with that?
Are you up? Are you boys and Norwich fans?
Not in terms of striker. When I think a couple of times on Tuesday night, Jerome pulled up a bit, and he thought, oh dear. And then, what have we got? Lafferty on the bench, despite the massive round of applause he got for not doing a great deal in his Norwich career. No, it's a worry if they don't get someone in before the window. Isn't Bacani yet still at a club, or is he let go?
He's still at Dynamo Kiev, I would assume. I have assumed that, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, we put a quick poll up and 77% would be happy to see him back. But like you say, it's whether he wants to play in the Championship. And if he does, the boys have to run around a bit more than he did in the top flight.
He'd do all right in the Championship, wouldn't he?
20-plus goals, no problem. No problem at all. In that team with... Well, we don't need to list them all, but... A galaxy of attacking creative players creating chances against inferior teams, yeah, that'd be an excellent signing. But as you rightly say, he's not coming here if there's a Premier League suitor, so it's really, sadly, in terms of doing something rather swiftly, that isn't going to get concluded very swiftly at all. In fact, I'd be surprised if it was going to happen, it would be the last few days. So no, you'd like to think that's one on the back burner, but there's more prominent ones they're chasing as we speak.
I still can't shake this feeling that Norwich, you normally bring in someone who's better than what you've got, and the problem at the moment is that Norwich effectively have a massive hole and you're trying to find a striker that's better than having a hole. I know that's simplifying it, but you just think there must be someone they could attract to get in. I know that they obviously need to be at our level, but surely there's the scouting department have got someone at a club that Norwich could bring in so that it's a step up and see what they do. Or is that too much of a risk? Is that the problem?
It's going to be big bucks though, isn't it?
But they stuck a £12 million offer in for Ross McCormack. The money's there.
Yeah, the money, well, not the whole package that Villa blew them out of the water with, but yeah, no, you said it again today, you know, they're willing to spend what sounds like club record money. You know, the money is there and they're willing to spend it. But see, I mean, I take your point, but ultimately McCormack's a prime example, and Villa are still saying they want a striker. They're getting linked with Bamford, aren't they? Newcastle still saying they want a striker. If Norwich identify a striker in that class for that value, you can guarantee Newcastle and Villa will be also in the running. So you're going to have the same scenario, I'm afraid. You're going to have the same McCormack scenario. Who's willing to pay whatever it takes to do it? And we both, well, we all know that Norwich versus Villa versus Newcastle, financially, they can't compete. That's the reality of it.
I tell you what I do find interesting, this has just popped into my head now. The moment Jez Moxie came in as chief executive, presumably the interim arrangements with the people helping them do their deals will have subsided. And it's gone very quiet in terms of speculation, hasn't it? It's almost been a shutdown. We've had almost nothing, apart from the Mbakali link. I just think that's quite interesting. I'm sure there's lots of busy work going on. Anything else anyone wants to say?
No.
Silencio.
Have fun outside Portman Road with Darren Eady after the game.
Yes, we're recording our Pink and Show match day outside Portman Road. Me, Darren Eady. We're not going to be in Norwich shirts, but we probably are going to get pelted.
Doesn't matter. Most Ipswich fans know what Darren Eady looks like.
I imagine they'll come up to him and go, "Hi, Darren."
I'll wear a big yellow and green wig.
As long as it's just, you know, verbal.
Yeah.
Depends on the result, mate.
Yeah.
It does. Doesn't everything, basically. And on that note, we will wrap this up. We'll be back here on these channels with the podcast after Ipswich. We'll see what the tone is like. Keep everything crossed. It's Derby weekend. We all know how painful that feels. Hopefully only until kickoff. Thanks, gents. Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you on the other side. Bye for now.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.